If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hi, friend. So Eric, my husband, was away from home last weekend for 4 days. He went to go visit his daughter at college in Oklahoma. You know, I always think it's interesting to see how people spend their time when their partners or their kids are away, or to think about how I spend my time when my partner or my kids are away. I ended up doing a ton of stuff around my house. I got all my containers planted. I did a ton of reorganizing inside. But looking back at the weekend, I'm realizing that what I didn't do very much of at all was leaving home. I do go for a walk almost every day at a park about 10 minutes from here. And I had a long hike with my friend Candace on Sunday. And then I took Clara and Owen out to dinner at one point. And then one afternoon I went and sat in a local cafe with a book for about an hour. But that was about it. In the span of about 4 days, two of which were on the weekend. And it really got me thinking about how different my approach to downtime and entertaining myself and just my home in general is now than it was, say, like 7 or 8 years ago. My life has really become a lot more home-centered and home-oriented. And I really like that. But I think there's this narrative that as our kids get older and our time frees up, that moms will be or should be or will want to be spending more and more time out there in the world, socializing, making their mark, traveling, all of those things. And for me, that's proving to be sort of the opposite of how I'm finding myself orienting my life as my kids are getting older. Now, that's not to say I never leave. I am out in the world socializing and walking and shopping and all those things. But at this stage of my life, I'm just not looking for the experience of being entertained or fed out there, like out in the world. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I don't think I'm alone in that. And I actually think there are a lot of benefits to living a more home-centered life. So we will jump into that conversation in a minute, but I briefly wanted to share the tea I'm drinking right now. It is early afternoon, so I have moved on from my caffeine times, and I'm drinking Paris Decaf from Harney & Sons. It is a black tea, a decaf black tea. I don't have a lot of these in my cabinet, but I do love them because sometimes I just really want to have the experience of a really flavorful black tea in the afternoon when I want to be done consuming caffeine for the day. And this one definitely hits all the marks. It's got a fruity flavor to it that I really like. I don't find that I have to sweeten it at all. And I'm having it with a splash of goat's milk. So this is new for me. I got to milk a goat yesterday. This will be a whole nother topic for another time. But I have had sort of a thing for goats most of my life since childhood and have become friends with a local farmer who has goats. And I got to go to her house and milk a goat. It was the best. I will definitely be delving into more goat talk in a future episode. If you have a goat, I would love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at meganfrancis@gmail.com. That's Megan with two A's. But anyway, what I'm finding really surprising about super fresh raw goat's milk is it doesn't have that sort of tangy flavor I associated with goat milk and goat cheese. And I'm finding that that's actually pretty common. If you have really fresh raw goat's milk, it just tastes very mild and sweet. It really doesn't have that tangy flavor. And I think it has something to do with the pasteurization that usually happens with the milk that you can buy at the store. So loving it, it tastes very similar to the way my tea usually would taste. And I'm just loving knowing that yesterday I milked a goat and today I have that milk in my tea. It feels really special. Okay, so we're going to get into today's topic soon. But first, I do have a little news to share that's kind of related. And that is that we sold our rental home. So I'm going to give a little background for those of you who didn't catch this storyline. I don't think I've actually talked very much about it on the podcast. I shared a lot about it on my Instagram, but that was kind of a while ago now. So when Eric and I started getting pretty serious about our relationship, but we weren't really ready to move on to the next level, we both had multiple kids at home. My kids and I moved into a house around the corner. It's about a 90-second drive from here. And it was just a cute little house, but had a nice big shop building where Eric was able to run some of his painting business out of the back. I had my office in the front. And then we had about 6 acres. And that was when I got chickens for the first time and really kind of started living this more country lifestyle. Well, then last spring, Eric and I got engaged and pretty quickly decided to get married. So very little time to pull all that together. And we had decided that we would move into Eric's home, which he built, I think, starting about 10 years ago. It's a bigger house. It's on about 20 acres. So it made a lot of sense for this home. I'm in this home now to be the place that we sort of made the family home. By this point, it would just be Clara, Owen, and me moving in. But the old house had the shop building and the chickens were there, and it just made sense for us to hang on to it for a while because we just really weren't sure what we wanted to do. So we left that house almost the way it was when we lived there, when the kids and I lived there. The furniture is still in it. We moved our personal items, our clothing out, some of our dishes, but not even all of our dishes. And it made the move really easy. It was really fast. We didn't have to worry about listing the house for sale, any of that stuff. And we ran it as an Airbnb last season. And we actually really enjoyed the Airbnb experience. At least I did. It was a lot of work, but I really kind of loved having this second home set up that I could go hang out in. Or if my older kids were visiting, they could stay there. It just felt like a nice little transition between living alone with my kids separately and being completely immersed and enmeshed with another person's life, which is challenging, I think, at any age. But when you're in your mid-40s and really are set in your ways and have your own decor style and, you know, just your own rhythms and routines, it is really challenging to combine that with someone else and then add kids, and that creates challenges. And it felt almost like this little safety valve to have that house over there. Not like I ever thought I was going to move back into it or anything like that. It was more just like it was there and it just felt like the home that I had set up. So we did keep it for almost a year. But the longer I lived in this home, which is beautiful, the more torn I started to feel between the two spaces. It really felt like I was trying to invest time in the old house, like as a business. And I was trying to come up with all these different business ideas that could work for that space. And then trying to invest in my new home as a home and bringing stuff over from the old house and trying to get it to fit here. And it just started to feel like it was a bit of a drain for both of us. We were too diluted. We have a lot going on over here that we want to do. And then we had this sort of other house that yeah, the Airbnb was paying the mortgage, but it wasn't really doing anything else for us. So anyway, we listed it in March. We got an offer in, I think, mid-April, and we accepted that offer. I don't even know. It's been a real whirlwind, but we are going to be closing at the end of May. So it really does feel like it was the right thing to do. It was kind of a stressful situation. I think anytime you're selling a house is kind of stressful. We were trying to sell it with the contents if the buyers wanted the contents, which created a little more stress. But here's a really funny story. So one of the last negotiations that we had to do, we'd all settled on the price. We'd settled on all the terms, all that stuff. But they did the inspection and some stuff came up that did need to be addressed. And we just assumed Eric would have a bunch of repairs to do over the next month. But the buyers said that they would waive all of the repairs if we would leave them our chickens. I mean, that call from the realtor was hilarious because, you know, part of me is thinking, okay, this is a flock of older chickens. Like the hens are more than 2 years old. they're still laying, but they're not really paying for themselves anymore. Their feed is more expensive than we're getting back in eggs. And we had been kind of stressing about moving them because it's not really easy to move chickens. They're not easy to catch. So we had this plan to go over after dark and like pluck them out of their coop while they were asleep. Anyway, this was a little bit of a stressor. We weren't sure how this was going to go. So it made total sense. Like in every way, this was the best case scenario. But I was so sad on the phone. And I said to the realtor, but our rooster, he's a really good rooster and it's not easy to find a new rooster. Now that is true. But in the end, I can replace the chickens. And I've actually already started new chicks that will be just about ready to put outside when the new coop is built here by the end of May. So it all worked out very well and very appropriately. I like the idea of having a fresh new start with fresh new chickens. And this family who's moving into this space gets to sort of have that homesteady feeling right away without them having to raise their own chickens from, you know, from babies and things like that. So anyway, it's all working out the best way it possibly could. And I am a little sad about it, but I can also see now how hanging onto that house was starting to sort of pull me away from being able to really build a home where I live now. And so I'm looking forward to simplifying and really establishing my home-based life here in this home that I live in now. So that leads me to what I want to talk about in this episode, and that is what it means to me to have a home-based lifestyle and why I'm finding myself more and more drawn to that way of living. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willa Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. So I want to back up really quick, and I'm going to tell you more about my life up until now and why I think I'm finding myself in this place. So you might know that I became a mom really young. I had all of my kids between the ages of 20 and 31. So there was like a decade there, a little more than a decade, where my whole life centered around being at home. I worked from home, and I started that from very early on. And I was writing about being a mom. So not only was my work happening at home, but my work was about being at home and my work was about being with my kids. There was a really beautiful flow to that for a long time. I was just writing about my life. And that was my business. My business was my life. And it really, really worked. And, you know, for a little while, I would go to writers' conferences every now and then. But being away at that time when I had really little kids in the house and was often still pregnant or breastfeeding, it just wasn't practical. And I kind of didn't want to. So my life was really home focused. Well, that really started to shift in my early mid 30s. I'm going to say 34, 35, 36, around that age. My kids were getting older. I wasn't having any more babies. And I just started finding myself able to get back out there a little bit more and become a little more outwardly focused. And for a while, that was great. I was traveling quite a lot. I was going to multiple conferences and blogging events and podcasting events later. And I was just getting out into my community. I got really active in theater and performance. I sat on a couple of nonprofit boards. I went to local business meetings, all kinds of stuff. And so I was also meeting more people in my community and also at conferences and things like that. And those kinds of things can start to kind of take on a life of their own. And then my now ex-husband and I were also traveling a lot together. He worked in a city a couple hours away in Chicago. So there were lots of reasons to go into town and have a night out. And I do think it was sort of a natural or logical reaction to spending so much of my early life, over a decade, my entire 20s, just really hunkered down at home. So I don't regret that I became more out there. I think it's really natural. In a lot of ways, it was really good for me. But it did escalate to a point where I think it was not healthy and actually was pretty unsustainable. And it all came to a head shortly after I got divorced. So my youngest was about 8, and I had taken a job as a co-host for a morning radio show. So I was at the station most mornings. And then I took on an additional full-time job as a copywriter at a local marketing agency. And that was an in-office job. Now, at the time, I really needed the money for both of these jobs. So again, it's not... there's no criticism of myself here, but I was at the office job until 4 most days. So my day would start really early. I was on the mic doing the radio show. Sometimes I was doing it like from the kitchen table while I was getting my kids ready for school. Then I'd have to head to the station. So basically from, you know, 6:30 in the morning, 6:45 when I first got on air till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was either working or traveling to or from one of the jobs. And then in addition to that, I was still doing the occasional theater performance, mostly because I'd become part of that community and was being asked to do stuff. And I was really bad at saying no, or even figuring out like whether taking something on was reasonable. So I would have rehearsals and performances, and then the radio station would schedule live events that I'd have to go host. That was often on weekends, sometimes weeknights. And I did all of that for about a year, and then I bailed on all of it. Like within a 3 or 4 month window, I went from having 2 jobs outside the home and doing performances and all of the stuff that I had to do with the radio station to quitting both jobs. And then I wrapped up the last performance I was ever in. And I was just like, well, okay, that's it. I'm not doing any of this anymore. And by the way, the last theatrical production I did was Chicago, and I played Roxy Hart. So that's a pretty good note to go out, I think. But here's what I noticed about the following year and a half. So even though I had quit the full-time job, I'd quit the radio station and all those obligations, I mostly quit performing. I would still sometimes sing at church, and I think I did 1 or 2 concerts. But that whole lifestyle of being at, you know, nightly rehearsals and things like that, that was all done. But it took me a lot longer to quit the idea that life was somewhere out there, not in my home. And that my goal was to hurry up and wrap up whatever I had to do at home so that I could leave it. And I would find myself on the nights that my kids were with their dad, especially, just feeling so restless. I would really get a lot of anxiety. Like I didn't know how to just settle in. I was always looking for something to do, somewhere to go. On the days I was home alone, I would start texting friends at like 3 p.m., just basically trying to figure out how I was going to spend my evening. And I think so much of this was, again, really natural for me at the time. I was settling into being a single woman. I had been married for years. And then I was trying to get used to having no partner, and my house was empty half the time. So I never said no to an invitation. And if someone asked me if I could get together for a coffee date or a happy hour, I wouldn't even consider that against like the bigger picture of my life. I didn't ask myself if I had planned enough downtime or if I had left time for really necessary stuff I had to do around the house. I would just look at my calendar, and if it looked like I could fit it in, I'd be like, yep. And, you know, looking back, it was exhausting. It also meant I spent a lot of time with people that I probably wasn't going to get closer with just because they were there and they were part of these larger circles of people that I was spending time with. I spent way more money than was comfortable for me, because living that way, living, you know, out in the world can be very expensive, and it just wasn't nourishing me. I wasn't spending time alone writing or creating or reading or even just taking baths and watching movies. I was just filling time. And I think I was starting to get really weary of that life, and I was trying to sort of carve out another way of being, but struggling with it. I just couldn't figure out how to like bow out of this really restless life I had created, where I was going all the time, because in my mind, there were expectations people had of me that I would be available to do things. I'd be the one who could show up for something or meet you out or get there early or stay late. And I had kind of also forgotten just how to not do that. So it was a lot of people pleasing, but it was also a habit. And it was also a lot of not knowing how to be alone or how to be comfortable just hanging out at home. And so right at the peak of me trying to figure out how to slow things down, simplify my life, quiet it all down, COVID happened. And I remember this feeling when it was still early in the pandemic and we didn't know what would happen and grocery shopping was super weird and everyone was constantly talking about infection rates and spread and I wasn't seeing anybody except for my kids. I mean, I was nervous and anxious because everybody was nervous and anxious for one reason or another. But underneath it all, I was relieved. And that was a very interesting truth to realize and sort of sit in. I really have sort of great memories of those months. I baked, I made pancakes. I started seeds indoors for the first time in over a decade. I watched squirrels and birds. My kids did their virtual classes, but you know, the end of that year, it was very chill. So our home life was just really quiet and steady, and there was no running around. There was really nowhere to go. I would take a long walk every day. I was talking with Eric. We were starting to strike up a friendship at the time. So we were texting a lot, and that was really fun. But the expectation of being anywhere or going anywhere, at the very beginning, I had this moment of panic, like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? All the restaurants are shutting down. Like, that's my whole life, is going out and doing things with people. And in the end, it actually ended up being wonderful for me. It was really refreshing and really needed. It was basically just a reset. So when the world opened back up, my life was kind of unrecognizable. And you know, it's so funny. I never went back to some of the places that I used to hang out. I haven't been to a conference since early 2020. There are people I haven't seen since before COVID. And there's people that I just see a whole lot less of than I used to. And so now fast forward to being remarried and making a home in a new space. And Eric and I are even more home-centric than we were a year ago. I took a job back in October where the expectation was that I would travel up to their offices a couple of times a month, a few hours away. And I wound up leaving that job. And one of the reasons was that it was just too much, like navigating that much expected travel. It would have been nothing for me in 2019, but now I just don't want that much upheaval. I will say it has taken some adjustments to get to where we are, because really what I've done is create new habits around how I spend my time and how I react to invitations and things that end up on my calendar. But I am just loving the pace of a more home-centered life. I've been enjoying being creative in the kitchen, getting things organized, doing some decorating. I'm more available when my teenagers are home. It all just feels so much quieter and so much more livable. And I don't think I realized before how much I needed that. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to me to live a more home-centered life, because it doesn't mean I never travel or go out. We do go out. And we do travel. We have a business and a property up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is like a 7-hour drive from here. So we go there, you know, pretty regularly, especially at certain times of the year. And I'm still going out. I'm still getting together with friends. I'm still going to the library and the grocery store. I mean, there's just things I'm still doing. I think for me, it means a few things. So one of the biggest shifts, I think, is that I don't automatically think I have to leave my home for entertainment or socialization or food. All those things that you, like the knee jerk used to be, I'm hungry, I'm bored, I'm lonely, there's something out there for me. I'm just not automatically thinking that way anymore. I'm more looking around me and saying, what can I do here? What food can I make here? What project can I do to entertain myself here? Who is already in my home that I can talk with and connect with? And so it's not that automatic knee jerk idea that everything has to happen outside of my home. So that's probably the biggest piece. Because of that, I'm now looking for ways to improve my space rather than leave it. So I'm really investing in my home. And I mean investing mostly time and talent. But of course, you know, things cost money. If you want to do a photo wall or like redecorate a room, that might cost a little money. But I also feel like the better I understand my space, because I'm spending more time paying attention to it, the more creative I can be with repurposing things, moving things around, maybe finding something in the basement that I forgot existed. And then when it's time for me to make a purchase for my home, it's just a better purchase. I think there's been times in my life where I've been so busy that I buy things sort of reflexively because I think they'll solve a problem that doesn't even need to be a problem or the solution. I do feel like the more time I'm spending just looking around and seeing what's around me and really experiencing living in this home, the better I know it and then the better decisions I'm making for it. Living a home-centered life also means I am a lot more selective about the invitations that I say yes to. I'm more likely to say no than I used to be, and I'm a lot more mindful of my reasons for saying yes when I do. So I'll give you an example for this. There have definitely been times in the last few years that I've been invited to, let's say, a party or something that I don't really want to go to, but I really do want to see at least one of the people that I know will be there. Maybe it's the host, maybe it's the person who wants me to go with them. But for whatever reason, I don't want to go to that event. It's either a place I don't want to go, maybe it's later at night than I want to be out, whatever it is. I'll now kind of suss that out and say, okay, well, I don't really want to go to this event, but I really do want to see this person and that person. What's another way I can see this person and that person without having to say yes to this event? I think I used to feel real obligation to say yes to things just because I was invited. And the more I practice saying no, the better I've gotten at really figuring out why I might say yes. And then if it's a thing that I just don't think I can do, is there another way that I can get that time in with that person I want to see? Or maybe I can do the thing on my own terms, you know, instead of going with someone else and then being kind of at their mercy, I can come on my own and leave in a shorter period of time, whatever it is. I've just become a lot better about that. Another thing that I was doing a lot of in those years that I'm doing very sparingly now is public events, public speaking, hosting, performing. I am still doing that stuff. I'm just being really selective about it. For example, I am singing in a Dolly Parton tribute show this Saturday, which is really exciting, but that's the first of this kind of concert or event that I've done in years. I sometimes sing at church, but that's like a very low commitment. I show up in the morning and rehearse the songs a couple of times and then sing that day. I've spoken in church a few times. And those are all things that I definitely do have to set aside time for. And of course, they're very out there kinds of things. What's been really interesting for me is to see how draining those things actually are. So when I'm done with something like even singing in church or speaking, or I'm sure this is how I'll feel after this concert this weekend, I'm kind of worn out. And it's interesting to look back and think, wow, I used to do that stuff all the time. Like I would just jump from one to the next to the next. I don't think I was really giving my body and my nervous system time to settle in between those things. And so it's been really illuminating to still do those things, but just to do them much more selectively and less often. Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, T-E-A-S-M-A-D-E, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Okay, so before we wrap up this episode, I do want to talk a little bit about the benefits of living in a more home-centered way. Because I think if I had listened to this episode like 10 years ago, I would have thought, well, this just sounds really boring and I don't want to do any of these things and I don't get it. Like, why would I? So I am not making an argument for spending more time at home just because you should. I'm not even sure I would say you should. Maybe you are actually a person who could benefit from more time spent out in the world. And I will do another episode next week about sort of how to strike that balance between being a part of your community and having those relationships and that social life and still spending enough time invested in your home life. So that is to come in the future. But I did want to talk about the benefits for me that I've experienced of this shift toward a more home-centered life. And the first one is it's just so much less expensive. And I'm not just talking about going out to eat, although that can be very expensive and was actually one of the last holdouts for Eric and I, even as recently as like last spring and summer. We were just going out to eat a lot together. You know, we'd just gotten married and we were having fun and like there was a lot going on and it just made sense. But I remember at one point I just said, have you noticed that our restaurant bills seem to keep getting higher and higher and higher, but the food never gets better and the experience is getting worse? And he said, yes, 100%. So we've become a lot more selective about the way we spend our dining out dollars, which isn't to say we never go out. It's just that we do it much more infrequently. And that means when we do, we're not really worried about like what menu item we're getting, or we're not worried about going to a more expensive restaurant. We just do it a whole lot less. So yes, going out less is less expensive for that reason. But I also think it's less expensive for a different reason. And that is because when you understand your home, when you're really part of your home ecosystem and all the routines and rhythms that kind of go along with making a home, you just spend less money. You know what's in your pantry. You know what's in your fridge. You spend more time in the home. So that means even the food you're making at home is probably less expensive. There's less waste. You can spend time on things that take a little bit longer, like soaking beans overnight or making a sauce from scratch or something like that. That might have cost you more to have the convenient version of that item. So it does save money, and not only because being out at restaurants is expensive, but also because being in your home helps you save money on the things you're doing in your home. So that is like a huge benefit that I really was kind of blown away by when I really took stock of how much money I had been spending on just being out of the house to really understand how much you save by being at home. It's pretty huge. When we do go out, I mentioned this a minute ago, we can kind of do it like we mean it. And part of that, yeah, is the expenditure. Like if we're going out to eat less, when we do go out, we can afford to spend a little bit more. But I also think we just feel better about it because we know that the other times we took care of business, whatever it is that we were able to do by being more invested in the at-home life, means that when we go out, we can kind of relax. We're not feeling rushed. We're not feeling a little bit sheepish about it. Like, oh, we should really be at home working on the yard or something like that. We're just out and we can do it like we mean it. Another benefit, I actually find being at home very creatively rewarding when I lean into it, when I find ways to be creative in the home. And that can mean really different things for different people. I did an episode a few weeks ago, maybe a little over a month ago now, where I talked about different projects I'm working on in the kitchen. I find that my chicken tending and all of that can be a source of creativity. Really looking forward into kind of creating this little mini homestead for us here on this property. And that's really creatively fulfilling for me. I also find that my home inspires other creativity. It inspires my writing. It inspires other things that I'm doing that are not necessarily related to my home, but are inspired by being in my home. Another benefit, I am just more invested in my home. When I spend a lot of time in my space, I make it into a space I like spending time in. So I enjoy my house more because I spend more time here. It's quiet. It's simple. I think it's good for my nervous system. It leaves time and space for the little routines and rituals that are good for me that I feel like have helped create more balance in my life and that I think are really important at this stage of life that I'm in. I mean, it was one thing for me to be going and going and going when I was in my 30s, but right now I'm in my mid 40s and I feel like everything is changing in my body. And I think it's really good for me to be in a quieter space right now. And finally, this is a benefit that can also be seen as a potential downside, but my social circles are tighter now. And I think that makes them more real. I still have very good friends. I still have people that I see pretty regularly. And I also have people in my life who I don't see that regularly, but we stay in touch. And I just feel like the pandemic probably did this for a lot of people and probably for some people too much. There was like an overcorrection of the size of their social circles, which is why a lot of people are feeling really lonely right now. I'll talk more about that in the episode that I do next week. But for me, because I was in a place where I was so outwardly focused, I was going, seeing so many people, feeling obligated to so many people all the time. For me, it's a real benefit to have tighter social circles that are also just more real. They're full of people that I really would drop everything for, and some people that I just want to get together with sometimes. Like, there's room for both. But where I landed is in a place where my social networks feel much more manageable and more authentic than they did, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Okay, so there are a few potential downsides to a more home-based life. And I want to talk about that in our next episode, which is all going to be about kind of striking that balance between living a home-based life, but also staying engaged, keeping your social circle strong, and still being part of the world around you. Okay, friends, this was a really fun and a little bit different episode, something that has definitely been on my mind lately. And I feel like I see a lot of sort of conflicting ideas about this out in the world. Everything from sort of that idea that you have to be totally self-sufficient to the other side, which is knowing that we have a real loneliness problem in the world right now. And I actually don't think that living a home-based life has to mean being lonely. In fact, I think that sometimes being out in the world in sort of a busy and scattershot way doesn't actually help with loneliness. I was very lonely when I was in that part of my life, and I'm a lot less lonely now. And I think that's an interesting juxtaposition. So I want to delve a little more into that in next week's episode. But for now, I appreciate you listening, and I would love to hear from you what you think on this topic. Again, you can email me at meganfrancis@gmail.com. That's meganfrancis@gmail.com. Or you can find me on my blog. Just go to theteasemade.com and leave me a comment. I'm going to have a related post up within a day or two of this episode going live. So would love to hear from you there. That's all for this episode of The Teas Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasmade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon. If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com.